The Holy Gospel is written in the 10th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with verse 2.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Pharisees came and tested Jesus by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Jesus answered, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hardened that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, he made male and female. For this reason, man will leave his father and mother. He'll unite to his wife. The two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined, let no one separate." And when they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this, and he answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife, marries another, commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries a man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place their hands on them. But the disciples rebuked him. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God becomes such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God is like a little child who never entered it." And he took the children in his arms. He placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Well, thank you for coming, and it's kind of interesting, as you go through a sequence of scripture, you don't get to pick it. It comes, and then you have to deal with it. Here, it's interesting because it's reminding us of God's original plan all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. It was that man and woman would be created, and if they were to join together, they would become one. But the Pharisees knew that in times past, in their time present, there was a significant thing called divorce. Divorce was happening, and divorce was, at one time, it was if the man didn't like his wife, didn't like the way she looked, didn't like the way she walked today, she may have said something, he was able to simply want to be able to say, "I divorce you." And she had no say in it. And it was done. And so in the time of Jesus, it said some Pharisees, it wasn't all. And remember, not all the Pharisees despised Jesus or were looking to trap him, trick him, or kill him. We have some scripture which shows that there were religious leaders that one were intrigued by his teaching, and some even accepted his teaching, and we see that even at the time of the cross. There was those that followed and became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there were many that saw a chance to see and test him, to see what answer he might give. Why? Because divorce was happening. Moses allowed a certificate of divorce for certain reasons. And it's interesting because when they ask the question, how does Jesus respond? He says, "What did Moses tell you?" You're the religious leaders, he knew that they were trying to trap him, and he went back to say, "What does the law say? What did Moses tell you?" Folks, there are going to be things in your life and choices you will make as a believer and the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and somebody may be testing you, trying to trick you, or just inquisitive and want to know why you do what you do or practice what you do. And what will your answer be?
I think we learn as a great scholar of a rabbi like Jesus to simply say, I would. What scripture tell us to do? You ought to control your anger. You're probably right, but what scripture say in regards to that? Does it tell me, if you know, that I should have self-control? It's one of the gifts of the Spirit, right? What does the Bible say about those things? And that really ought to be our guideline and our basis. And the reason we're in the Word is that we might find those things and put them to life. Why do you practice the living that you do? It's because of the Word of God and what He tells me. In this case, he was reporting back to what the law said. Moses said, you can give a divorce, a certificate of divorce, for certain reasons. But what was Jesus' response to that? Why did Moses have that law in place? He said it's for a reason. You can go to your notes. You can circle it. It's because of what? A what? A hard heart. Folks, if there's something going on in your life, it's going to start here. It's a heart matter. And he said, you know, but he basically what he was saying to him is, you know, a divorce issue, a marriage relation issue, is not based on what somebody wants to perceive or put into a law. It begins with your heart. Isn't that true? We have some married people out there, or some that have been married. Yeah, you're going to raise your hand, you're going to admit that? Was it a hard issue? At the beginning, when you found this thing that they explain is called love, you ever heard that word? Love? When you found that it was love, did it hit your heart? When you were doing something for your spouse or the one that you love, does it bring you joy because whatever was done was because they were touching your heart? The word they say, the look they gave, a hand, a hug, did you feel it? It was a love issue there, and what happens is the other issue, says, when you got a hard heart, it's a sin issue. Most of our lives, when we have struggles or a problem, or we get away from God, I'm going to tell you right now, it's a sin issue. And what you and I should be doing is when we see that relationship with God be at a distance, relationships with others at a distance, where should we go? We've been here to get together long enough. Where should we go? First thing we need to do is we need to go to God. And we need to confess our sin. And it says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive me all of my sin. 1 John 1:9, right? Highlight it. Memorize it. Isn't it nice that no matter what we do, God's already got a plan. And God's already taken care of it. We just got to call on it, claim it. And in that regards, he says, look, it starts with your heart. If you notice something isn't right in your heart, you need to get it right. You need to get it right. If it's your relationship with God, if you've been away from God for a long time, you've been doing your own thing and your life is getting all messed up, and you wonder, it's because of what? Your hard heart. You're not letting God work, not letting Him go ahead and take control and guide you. You say it with your lips, but you don't trust and obey. It's a heart issue, and it's a sin issue. In relationships, if the relationship isn't going well, you need to get your heart well. Why do relationships last and nurture and grow? It's because the other person's always got that love in part of the heart. They want to see them do well, feel well, be happy. It's sad today, and even in the United States, today the statistics tell us that it's anywhere, used to be 50%, and it's creeping to 60% of all marriages end up in divorce. That's not very good odds, is it? Even at 50%, it's not very good odds. And in the church, God's own body of believers, the statistic isn't any different. Why? As believers, we deal with two things in our lives, don't we? The old way, our old self before God, and our self with God. And until we get to heaven, we wrestle that every day. Do you wrestle with that every day? You get up in the morning, do you put your old self off and put it in the closet and leave it there? It comes with you, doesn't it? You ever have a thought and you say, how did that get in my head? I didn't want to think that. Somebody says something and I take it a certain way and I react to what they said. Is that God or is that me? The other part, it was interesting in the studies of why most divorces came. It was called an issue of commitment. Do you still remember what commitment is? See, in a world today, we're losing sight of a lot of different things and the words and their meanings. And commitment's one of those. In foreign countries, a lot of people, when they're born and raised in a family, they're committed that when they grow up, they are going to have to serve a partial of their life towards the government, to the army, or whatever it is. You'll see that. Even in England, Prince William and Prince Harry spent time in the royal forces because that's expected, that a season of your time as a young person, you would learn about the love for your country, and you would learn to defend your country, and you would take active service. And there are many other countries today that do that. One country that does not do that anymore is where? Right here in the United States. And if we demanded that to be done, we would have a little... Right. But it's interesting because when we look at our history as a nation, we can always go back into World War I and World War II, and the people that went to war were kids. They were kids. There were some that they believed in their country and their family values. They went to war and they snuck in at the ages of 14 and 15. And we have very few anymore that we look at our seniors and still see them around, but we ought to appreciate what they did. And then the sad part about our country, we got involved in things that maybe we shouldn't have, whatever your political view is, but what happened was we still sent kids. And when they came back, us as a nation said we didn't agree with it, and so therefore, we don't honor you for it. Now we're a little better. We see a Vietnam veteran. Most of them go out and will say thank you for your service and shake their hand. But that's not the way it was when they came back originally. And so our history shows that. It was a lack of commitment. We have the same situation in Christian life. We know the Ten Commandments, right? And we know that we were going to break one or two at least, hopefully not all ten. And time when we said we needed to be back in the Word, it takes what? To be in the Word of God every day, what does it take? It takes work, and it takes commitment. I have to be committed to doing it. Or ask my sister or something, call me on the phone and remind me I need to do it, right? But I have to be committed to do it. The reason we have problems in the workplace today is we have a generation of workers that are not committed to work for their pay. I'll show up to get my check, but not to give a reasonable work for the day. You've seen it? And a lot of things, folks, that's what it is. It's the lack of that commitment. And God told these Pharisees, the Lord Jesus said to them, you know, you're trying to get me with the law. What will the law allow me to get away with? Moses said, okay, I'll give you a law. Here's you a law that you can go by. But first of all, I want you to know something. What's God's standard? God's standard is what? That there's not a divorce. You didn't create divorce. Who created divorce? Come on, you know. Man did. Man caused it. God's original design was what he told you in Genesis chapter 2 and Deuteronomy chapter 4. It was that a man would finally grow up, he would leave his mother and father, and he would find himself a dog, right? No. He would find a wife. What was the plan? Well, the plan was that the wife would be so close that they would become what? One flesh. God's perfect design was in your life, you would find a lifetime partner that would commit, that would love you, and love would rule. Unfortunately, it doesn't always happen, does it? Praise the ones that have, that experienced some of that. But God's design and standard was that would be his plan. When we marry a young couple, you'll have that opportunity shortly. That young couple is committed to each other. God has brought them together. And that they might think as one and be as one. And a lot of times we're wondering, what should we do? Should we do this? Should we do that? It wants you to be thinking as one. No longer am I thinking just for myself. I'm thinking for what? The person that God has joined me with. And we together will make those decisions. We together commit to each other. We together will honor and serve the Lord. We together will take those steps in life. And praise God when you met someone that you could do that with. Some had to use a second time, maybe some a third, maybe a fourth. But God's design that you would have had that one time and experience it and enjoy it for the life of your marriage. That was his design. I remember getting a phone call years and years ago, and my sister-in-law called me, and she goes, your brother's doing such and such and such. I want to divorce him. And basically, she was kind of looking for my okay to say, you know, blessings, do what you need to do. And I said, you know, God's standard is Malachi chapter 6. And it says, God hates divorce. Why does he hate it? Do you know? What does God want for you in your life? He says, I want to give you life that you might have it what? Abundantly, more abundantly. You might enjoy your life. He wants the what? The worst for you or the best for you? He gave his very best. It hasn't changed. He wants his very best for you. So when he says God hates it, God doesn't want anybody to have to experience that. Did you know that's it can be a nasty thing? It can rip families apart. It can hurt your heart. It can cause you to suffer mental anguish. It can suffer pain, tears. And our dear God doesn't want anybody to ever have to experience that. In fact, in anything in your life, he has never wanted that sin would cause you to be defeated and not grow and walk and enjoy life. If you do not experience the peace and the love of God, you need to check God's standard and find out why. And it's usually because something has changed our desires, it's changed our affections, it's changed our actions. And it starts in the heart. And it's not the term divorce. It's not the term of this or that. It is simply the word that the Pharisees did not want to hear. It's because of sin. And brothers and sisters, if there's something wrong in your life today, if you have a distance between you and the Savior, if you have a distance between you and a family member, if you have a distance between you and a spouse, if you have a distance in a relationship with your children, it's a matter of your heart. And it's a matter of sin. And you need to turn that over to God today. If you know the way you should be going and you're not going, James tells us, if you know it's a sin, it's a... We don't want to say it, go ahead. It's a sin. You know, James is good because he says, if you don't know it, well, then you're kind of ignorant. And that's okay, but when God reveals to you that it's not right, get it right. And it doesn't matter if it's about marriage, if it's about anything else. If you know what God's standard is, that's where you need to start. And folks, that's the thing I can tell you today. You need to know the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God. And you need to obey the Word of God. And we can deal with all these things that happen in life if we trust and we obey and we deal with sin in the right way. If you know it's a sin and you keep living in the sin, what are you expecting? You expect God to ignore sin? Well, I'm telling you, if you are, he doesn't. From the Old Testament all the way through the New,
God deals with sin. And in the book of Revelation, he's going to judge and he's going to deal with sin. And when you think this world is winning and those things of sin are going to conquer over the church, they will not. By his grace, he's allowed time as it goes for more people to turn to him. And then when he raptures and catches up the church, even the day of the tribulation, even though the Holy Spirit is gone, he still reaches out with his prophets for one last time for mankind to turn to him. But yet, man asks that the rocks fall on him that he might die because he's too stubborn to turn to God. Where are you today? Have you humbled your heart? It's a hard issue, folks. Is your heart humble? Are you worried? Is there something burdening in your heart that you need to give to him today? Or are you in rebellion? And no matter what is said and no matter what scripture has, you will not turn. And then you ask for God to judge that. It's interesting, if there was a pause as he still continued to teach his disciples about this, that some brought little children to him again. And I don't understand it, do you? With these disciples, sometimes it seems like they just don't get it. The people that were bringing the little children, they got really mad and they said, "Don't bother Jesus with these little children. Get them out of here." Now, some children, they're cute. I am so glad at my age now, they're somebody else's. You can enjoy the, what they look and what they do, but guess what? They go to mom and dad and let them deal with the day of the, as it goes. There's a reason I think that young people have young people. But folks, God is so loving and so caring. He says, remember, folks, when they come to the cross, they need to come humbly. They need to come dependent upon me. They need to be coming and want to be with me. A small child we mentioned, they want to be with their parents. Isn't that amazing? About 14 years old, then they don't want to be with the parents. When they're little, their parents know everything. They know their parents are going to protect them. And God wants the disciples, and he wants you to remember that no matter where you are in life, no matter if you had your birthday today, and you're up in those 90s as it goes, he still wants you to come as if you were two. Or five, where the burdens of the world didn't weigh you down. You weren't worried about retirement and what, you know, is a hurricane coming? Is it going to be toilet paper in the stores or water or whatever? He didn't want you to worry about it. He just wants you to come. Come to him. He didn't say, you know, I want you to finish your college and get all your degrees and your pedigrees, and when you measure up, you can come. He said, you don't have to be a certain age and then say, oh, well, now you qualify. He says, come today. Come like that child. You're worried about the things of life. You're worried about things that have happened in life. The things haven't been perfect. You're worried about these things that happen in life that cause such pain and anguish. I only want you to stop. Stop. And come to me. Come as you are. Wherever you are in life, whatever you're wearing, wherever your heart is, let it surrender and be filled with the awe of God and come. Isn't God great?
What a loving God, that he loves us that way, that he doesn't measure us like standards. He has standards. They're already established of what he would like to have. And he hates it when it doesn't go that way. But the reason it doesn't go that way is because of sin and the heart. Examine your heart today, please, before you leave. Surrender to God and turn your heart to him. Let him provide comfort and peace. Let him give you forgiveness and a new direction. And their old life, let it pass. Put it away today. Put it away and look for a new day. Today and tomorrow. And love him like a child. Because you are. If you put your faith in Jesus, you're a child of the King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even in life situations, as those would try to trick the Lord Jesus, he knew what was happening in the world. He knew why laws were made the way they were. And he simply told those back then and to those here today, it's a heart matter. Look at your heart. Is it looking to show love to the Savior? Is it looking for love to show each other? Is it a partnership that's growing in Christ? Lord, do not let our hearts harden. In Jesus' name.